Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Saturday Morning Anime Podcast, where we leave the analysis to the professionals. I'm Trey, you're procrastinating his finals work to talk about Anime Boy.
And here to provide color commentary, I'm Xavier.
Before we begin our first episode of Season 2, I want to remind everybody that this show is not intended for kids, even if our favorite shows are totally intended for kids.
All right, so this episode, we're going to jump into, I guess, a staple of anime, or at least mainstream anime, because around here we're dirty, dirty slice of life fans, so we don't necessarily see all of these. but we're going to dive into fights. Fights as a concept, fights in shonen, sort of the general layout of a fight, what we think makes a good fight, what makes a bad fight. But first, I have a question for you, Trey.
Sure.
As I usually do at the top of these shows. So when I talk to people about anime, most people's frame of reference is shonen, or like they saw an episode of Dragon Ball Z, or like a weird clip of Fist of the North Star, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think it is to anime's detriment as a whole that fights seem to be at the forefront of like mainstream anime? Like things like shonen and My Hero Academia and all of that is what people who like haven't watched a lot of anime know.
First of all, I just want to let everyone know that I am a dirty, dirty slice of life addict. I just finished a rewatch of my favorite slice of life anime, Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, the best Scooby-Doo TV series. Go fuck yourself.
It's What's New Scooby-Doo, but we're not going to get into it.
I like Himbo Fred and when characters have arcs, so I respectfully disagree. But for fights, right? I don't know if it's, I wouldn't say detriment, right? Because I think an important part of any type of media is getting people into the media. And I know dozens, if not like most of the people I know who watch anime, not all, but most, got into anime because they were a teenager who was like, fuck, that fight looks so cool. Why's that kid got like fox whiskers? And why is he punching that weird man with tattoos? You know? So I understand how like anime being so fight centric in like the cultural eye could be a problem in that it kind of makes people like think that there's not as much non-action or non-fight oriented anime, right? Like, I'm totally with that. I totally get it. But I know tons of people who have gotten into more character-driven stories, less fight and action heavy series, more thrillers, more romances, because they got into anime through some fight bullshit and then realized that stuff like anything else existed within the medium.
Yeah, it's just always interesting to me because when it's not a fight-centric anime, when I'm talking to people about how'd you get into anime, it's always Ouran, right? It's like they didn't even know theoretically that you could tell a romance, let alone a reverse harem in anime.
Oh, completely. Everyone I know who's like, nah, I didn't get in watching Toonami or the Dragon Ball or the Naruto or the Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like, yeah, no, I started with Ouran. And then, like, you get the odd, like, I started with Death Note, you know? But yeah. Everything else is fight stuff.
Definitely generational, right? Like, some people started with Ranma 1/2. Some people were like, oh, is that Inuyasha? Like, that kind of thing.
Well, Inuyasha's a... that's a fight series at times.
Is Inuyasha like a fight series on the tin though? Like, have you watched those old, because I know that you didn't see them, but have you ever watched old Toonami like clips, like the ad reel where they showed all the shows in a row? It was always like a Kagome romance scene or something that, like that.
That's true. And as someone who has watched parts of Inuyasha and read Inuyasha, like, there's fights in there. There's good fights in there. I wouldn't call it a fight series, but, like, it's more of a fight series than, like, Ranma 1/2 is, I personally.
Nah, the fights in Ranma were goated. What are you talking about?
That's also true. Like, look, all right? Great fights all around. But, like, I get what you're saying. But, yeah, most people I know get in through some sort of fight. And at least generationally, it's like, so who's your favorite character in Ouran or Free? And I'm like, all right,
Well, if it's not like Kaoru or Hikaru, get out. I don't.
Yeah, we're twin fans in this house. That's a correct take for Oran High School Host Club. But yeah, that's how it's always been for me. Like when I met people like middle school, everyone was like, yeah, man, I love Sword Art Online, the irregular at Magic High School, and Naruto. And then there's like five people who are like, y'all seen Free? And I'm like, I've seen Free. Free's great.
Right. And I think with that, like, actually, no, fuck it. Fuck the structure of this show.
Let's go.
Pure chaos. Because you brought up something that's interesting to me. I was going to ask you what makes a bad fight, but instead I'm going to ask you about good fights in bad anime. Sword Art Online is a bad anime.
Yeah.
Point blank period.
Yeah.
But those fights occasionally, right? Like these boss fights are amazing.
Some of the fights in SAO, as someone who's watched like the first main Einkrad bullshit, right? Some of these fights are kind of good. Like, I think it's bad. One of the Gary Stewiest boys around, his harem is very stupid and doesn't make any sense. No one is well written. It becomes bad, like, so fast. But also, like, that first boss fight, him and Asuna kind of heat. It's kind of a good time. I'm not saying it's, like, the best animated shit in the world or the best directed or it feels the best as a fight. But, like, I've been watching like stuff recently that doesn't hold the candle to that. That's in like way better fucking shows.
Yeah, and it's weird because I think that breaking down the anatomy of a fight, right? A fight sequence in a show is almost its separate being. So like it can be enhanced by good themes and good writing, like you've been waiting for the fight this entire time.
Yeah.
But even a fight that doesn't carry much like emotional weight or anything like that, or thematic weight, can be made good through like choreography and animation.
Oh yeah, no, completely. One that I always go to is like fights that are very early in series, right? Because you haven't had a lot of time to get with these characters, you know? Like when you watch Samurai Champloo, and you watch the sword fights that are happening 10 minutes into you meeting these characters. Now, admittedly, it's a Watanabe show. You already care about these characters because he's that fucking good, right? But those fights are so well put together that you can put them at the start of anything where I don't know any of these fucking characters, and I'm going to love it. Like, Sword of a Stranger, right? Good movie. I love the fight at the end of it. By the time I saw that movie, I'd already watched that last fight out of context 100 fucking times.
Yeah, because it just looks so good.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. I gave like a whole... you were there for this, actually. Remember that night when Death Stranding came out and we stayed up all night playing Death Stranding?
Yeah, we played like the first 6 hours of Death Stranding.
The next morning, like while you were playing it, I was prepping a speech and I gave like a 10-minute speech on that fight scene. To a public speaking class, got like a 99. It was like told that I had so much passion and obviously loved this film, and I'd never seen the fucking movie. I'd only seen the 5-minute fight scene. It's well, just like,
be like that sometimes.
It's that good of a fucking sword fight, like one of the best in anime, personally, you know. So I get it. What are like some other fights that you're just like, this fight is so fucking good, I don't need to see it. I don't need this piece of media to be good.
Fights that are so good, I don't need to see it. It's weird for me to say because I still don't know, and I think you looked it up one time, that there is some show where they're like wearing basically Kamen Rider suits fighting that just looks amazing, that makes it into like every Sakuga compilation ever.
Yeah, okay, so we talk about this. There's two shows, right? And I don't know the name of either of these fucking shows, but one of them that we always talk about is the one where they're all wearing like normal street clothes, and it's like some Chinese adaptation of a web novel. And then the other one in the fucking Kamen Rider suits is just something where it's like a superhero drama where they're doing like the do we need to regulate superheroes thing, except all the fights were animated by fucking Yutaka Nakamura. That's why it's in all the comps, because he's the fucking fight master.
Oh, absolutely.
Supreme. Yeah, no. Speaking of Nakamura and fights where you don't need anything, he has a short film with no words where two wolves just beat the shit out of each other. Like, just two, not like Anthro, just wolves just fight. And it's fucking incredible. Like, there's plenty, like, fights. A fight of ideals is like what people tend to think of when they think of a fight. You know, they think of like, here's two characters we've been with. They're fighting for a reason. But like, as much as I love those, it's not always necessary.
Yeah. And also, I just think, actually, you know what? I do know what fight like changed my fucking life before I ever saw it. Or like saw the series before I watched Full Metal Alchemist as like a series, like back when I was just watching like piecemeal episodes, whatever I got on Toonami, right? When it was hard to keep up with things because of time slots, I clicked into the channel in the middle of a Full Metal Alchemist episode, and it was the original Greed versus Edward fight, which I still to this day think is better than the Greed Edward in Brotherhood. But regardless, that fight was amazing, and it's because the animation was just so weird and wonky, but in all the right ways. Like, the Greed in original Full Metal Alchemist really takes advantage of the fact that he has the ultimate shield and fights more animalistically instead of like the controlled sort of I'm going to cut you with my nails style of the Greed in Brotherhood. And also, he's a lot more willing to put on the full ultimate shield than the Greed in Brotherhood, which I think is just a really cool design. And while I understand the narrative reason why he doesn't, because he's obsessed with his own looks, I like seeing that design.
I have some great news for you, which is the fact that Nakamura worked on, as far as I'm aware, the original Fullmetal Alchemist Greed versus Edward fight as well. I think that's fair. I think there's actually like a handful of fights in like Fullmetal Alchemist where Fullmetal Alchemist and Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood are both fucking excellent. So like, go watch the series, obviously. But there are fights in there where like, if I just saw that out of context, that's some fucking incredible stuff. Basically, like the entire like mini Castle Siege thing, Bradley versus Scar. I don't need context for that fight. It's just incredible. Like when he pulls the other fucking arm out and shit. Yeah, no, I'm with it. There's so many good fights. But I do think it's important that we recognize you can make fights way better with stakes and stuff like that.
Also, an element I think doesn't get talked about much unless it's Watanabe, really, because he's probably one of the best at it. Music can add so much to a fight. And I don't just mean like generic scene music like Yusei Run, although I love Yusei Run and Jet Set Run. Like, that is something they put in like every epic scene as a cut-in. But like the custom music for certain scenes where the choreography of the fight is following the beat, even when they do it in AMVs.
I know you said it's harder with other people because Watanabe is the one that comes to mind. But like when you say that, the fight that comes to mind is the first episode of fucking Cowboy Bebop, where he's Watanabe, I know, where he's fighting the guy who has like the fucking drugs, you know?
Yeah, the red eye.
Yeah, jumping around the table and like wearing his big stupid fucking, like he has like a poncho on. But like that fight, I think, I hate to be like, yeah, it's Watanabe who's the best at it, but like that fight is fucking incredible in how it uses music. I'm trying to think of other stuff that's used music like really well.
I believe I can't find his name, but I know it's not Nakamura, right? So for now I'll give the director to Ko Matsuo because I can't find the one of the lead animators' names, who is the director of Gundam Thunderbolt December Sky. E.O. Fleming's whole free jazz aesthetic, as well as the way that they are able to blend in those fights, specifically. So the setting of Gundam Thunderbolt, for those of you who are not familiar, the original December Sky, is an asteroid and space junk belt that has EMP lightning running all through it. And the main character, E.O. Fleming, is like a free jazz enthusiast, and he likes to play the drums in his cockpit and has a little stereo tape to it, right? And they basically sync up the timing of the machines avoiding thunderbolts and different pieces of debris with the free jazz along with the fight scenes. And it creates this amazing effect. And then the main antagonist is a sniper who likes to listen to what essentially equates to like old school R&B. And like those scenes where it's quiet and then you just hear this small R&B line and then all of a sudden someone gets sniped. Amazing. Amazing punctuation for a scene.
All the way through. In fact, shit like that is why that's my favorite piece of Gundam media. I don't think it's the best, but that's like the one that I always enjoy the rewatch the most. Fucking incredible example. I don't actually have that many like incredible anime examples, but like... we can go outside of anime for a second. Anybody ever seen Shaun of the Dead or Baby Driver or any of those movies? They're all... Wow, can't believe that director's name is leaving my mind. But like...
It's Edgar Wright, isn't it?
It is Edgar. Yeah, thank you.
Edgar Wright's like sound game in his films is unparalleled. Untouched. Yeah. I'll say
it's 1 a.m. I apologize. Edgar Wright, still a huge fan. But like in Scott Pilgrim, it's fantastic. In all three of the Cornetto trilogy films, there's like fight scenes that are directly set to music. The one that comes to mind the most is like the Don't Stop Me Now in the pub at the Shaun of the Dead. And then basically the entirety of Baby Driver, like the whole movie is that gimmick. To like give the idea of what we're talking about for people who have seen those films and maybe haven't seen like Gundam. But if you haven't seen Cowboy Bebop and you're listening to this show, I have no fucking clue how you got here.
If you haven't seen Cowboy Bebop, I cannot recommend Cowboy Bebop enough. But we're slowly building this list of like what makes a good fight scene, like animation, choreography, music. So I'm going to ask you, because we touched on music and like how like the syncing up in, as well as just like pure musical choice, is sort of what like does it for punctuating the fight scene. So let's go down the list of the other two that we have remaining. What do you think like in animation really attracts you to a fight scene?
For me personally, and I know you know this, I like a couple of different things. One, I really like when people get fucking weird with it and just like sometimes they do really like almost surrealist like bends of color because of how people are moving so fast or whatever, or when there's a bunch of like black and white action frames that are thrown in. I like it when the animation feels like it's doing something unique and fun and flashy, and I also like it when the animation and sound design as well sells me on how hard these characters are hitting and getting hit. And a series that does all of this fantastically is Mob Psycho 100, which is a recent personal favorite of mine, as I've talked about on the show before. But a lot of these fights with Mob doing psychic shit involves people being thrown through buildings. It involves a bunch of psychic powers. And it makes it... the way it's animated has a bunch of really incredible color design, and it makes all the hits feel like they're fucking hitting, which is also something I've noticed is really, really well done in a lot of like the older Gundam series. Like I've been watching 8th MS Team right now, and every time anything gets hit or collides or like attacks something in 08th MS Team, it feels like two sluggish giant robots fucking like laying into each other, which I really love.
Yeah, I think especially with modern animation and looking at the more modern Gundam series, computer animation has both super like pure digital animation has both leaped us ahead like a giant bit and also made us forget some things. And one of the things I think is amazing and stands out a lot in fight scenes is that idea of impact. But it's so easy to like animate something and it feels so smooth and looks so good that it no longer actually feels like someone is getting hit. And a lot of people get around this with impact frames. In the case of Nakamura, he likes to do like that sliding effect into an impact frame when he knows he's not going to do quite like a big impact crater or something like that, which I think is always a really good idea, even though I'm not the biggest fan of like cubes, like the anime cubes.
Fun fact, they're called Yutapon cubes, literally named after Yutaka Nakamura.
I also think that zoom-in impacts and x-ray impacts are the shit.
Okay,
Which isn't to say, like, smooth fight scenes don't look good. But when I see a smooth fight scene, at that point it becomes to me a fight scene of feats. So, for instance, there are very few, like, impactful, strictly because it's a sword fighting series, Bleach fight scenes, right? Like, you have to be dealing with a certain character, like Kenpachi, for impact to be the emphasis of the fight scene. But, like, when Ichigo uses his power-up Bankai for the first time, the entire point is that he just gets a shit ton faster. So, the fight scene is all about punctuating that speed. And then they turn in their generic fight track, which if you have a good generic fight track, you can get through like a lot, because at least then people will be hyped up for it. That kind of thing is always great. I also like when people get weird with it. I think my favorite weird one of recent memory is Lieutenant Hinowa versus Archer in Fire Force, which is by the same guy that wrote Soul Eater, whose name I always forget, despite the fact that he is very much one of my favorite mangaka at this point. It's a sniper battle in a train, in an underground subway. And because the entire theme is fire, the idea of like lighting up the subway and how you can play with lighting and the fire animation effects, because one character shoots fire arrows and the other one uses heat to manipulate the speed and trajectory of bullets, is just a really interesting concept to see come to life on the screen.
Absolutely. And I've seen that fight out of context. I think it's great. I'm going to say the names of three series so they don't forget them, because I have 3 points to touch on. Fate, Iron-Blooded Orphans, Dragon Ball Super. So in Fate, they sell a lot of impact with really fucking good effects work, because Ufotable does that. Oh my god,
every archer. Also, I'm putting this out here. Ufotable is the only anime studio that knows how spears work.
Oh, completely. Every fucking lancer fight in a Ufotable show is the best spear or lance fight in fucking anime. Every Kukulain and Diarmuid fight is godlike. I agree.
Do yourself a favor and find the first Archer versus Lancer fight from UBW. It's amazing.
Also watch Saber versus Lancer, like both of them from Fate Zero. Okay, but in Fate, right? I also see this in the Sakuga of the Heavens Feel movies, which I have yet to see because I'm still working my way through Dean's Day Night right now. All the fucking effects work on like Excalibur makes every single hit feel like someone is getting ran over by a semi truck, and it is awesome. And this is also really easy to see when they fight Hercules in UBW. Same sort of deal. Anytime someone is fighting against Hercules, all these hits are sold like fucking mad. That was the Fate point. Number two, Dragon Ball Super. First of all, it's fucking bad. Second of all, the Broly movie is not fucking bad. I think when it comes to like impact craters and like just like a fucking crater being made, the Broly movie sells it really well. Broly throws Vegeta through fucking mountains. And like, well, the first impact doesn't feel like it hits because all these people are functionally gods and have thrown hands with gods. Some of the biggest hits in like Dragon Ball Super Broly, by virtue of there being like city-sized craters and like planet-sized fucking laser beams, ends up on like the largest scale possible selling those hits for me. And it's less when Goku's on screen, it's mostly the scenes where pre going Super Saiyan Vegeta and Broly are beating the shit out of each other. And then three, not to hop back on Gundam's dick, but Iron-Blooded Orphans is also good at selling impact in digital animation, because watching O8MS Team and rewatching parts of Iron-Blooded Orphans, the way both those shows handle like the sound design of giant robots fucking ramming into each other or shooting each other is really, really similar, and it sells all of the damage and explosions and mechanical parts falling off and metal on metal like clanging super duper well. And those are my three digital animation impacts that I diligently spent like a whole minute saying over and over again in my head not to forget.
And this is an underlooked one that I think can go so far, at least for me, in being like, okay, they cared. Animation consistency. I fucking love animation consistency, or animation that shows the passage of time. Demon Slayer is a pretty show. No one, I think, can really argue this, although I have seen some hot takes on Twitter. But we don't talk about Twitter.
I've seen people be like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Demon Slayer's mid as fuck. Ufotable can't animate. I'm like, okay. Okay, Twitter.
But Demon Slayer is really pretty. But perhaps the thing I love the most about Demon Slayer, both in the manga and in the anime, is the consistency of the art. And when I say that, I don't mean like the art stays on the same quality level. But one thing that they drive home a lot is how Tanjiro's hands go from being the relatively softish hands of a boy who works for a charcoal family. So like they're a little bit worn from work, but like he's still a boy. That's his innocence, right? To constantly being worn down and calloused and blistered from gripping his sword so tightly during every fight. And people repeatedly make comments on it. And the animators make sure that every time you look at his hands, you can see it. Same thing in My Hero Academia, another anime that gets dunked on quite a lot. After Deku fucks up his hands, the animators have been very good about keeping those scars on his hands, even though really you could get away with not putting those in scenes because people aren't looking at hands that often. Those little touches go a long way for me with selling like either a fight has happened or something that happens in a fight.
This doesn't happen the entire series, but I think another thing that does that really well is some of the stuff that happens to like the regular ass humans during the Castle Siege and the Chimera Anth arc in Hunter x Hunter, like continued minor details of injuries and stuff like that, as well as in Sword of a Stranger, the nicks on the guy's sword in almost every close-up shot are like the same like nicks on the sword all the way through, and it's really, really cool. No, I eat shit like that up completely. I'm with you.
Also, when talking about impact, I think I would be seriously going amiss if I did not talk about Hajime no Ippo, both the fighting and the rising, because holy shit, can they sell impact. Like, everything about those fights is absolutely perfect. It's a gorgeous art style. It's gorgeously rendered in animation. When something hits, you hear everything from bones crunching, the sound of the boxing glove hitting flesh. They zoom in on the fucking impact so you can see exactly how it's affecting the body. If you've never watched or read Ippo, one of the main things that happens in Ippo is the fact that Ippo is a very hard puncher to the point where he breaks his own hands regularly when like in a big fight. And that kind of tonal consistency and like Ippo's hands start to bleed during the fight. These kinds of things are incredible.
I also like visual and auditory metaphors during fights. Mostly auditory is what was coming to mind, but visual as well. Like, I haven't watched Ippo, The Fighting of the Rising. I've seen some fights because you played them in our living room, like, all the fucking time. But whenever he does a Dempsey roll, which is one of the iconic moves of our protagonist,
It's a jet engine noise.
It's a jet engine like from a plane noise.
Yeah, no, that's how the fandom describes it. It is the jet engine from a plane.
I was trying to say the word turbine. That was not the word I wanted to say. I was like, it's not a turbine. But yeah, like they play like a jet engine, like vrr, like fucking noise as he's like building up to dodge and do these fucking punches. And like preparatory animation, wind-up animation, this is an important thing in fighting games, like startup frames, can also really, really sell how a hit lands in a fucking fight.
Oh yeah, no, the way that boxers in Ippo, like when they're going for like a big match changing punch, load up their punch, like you see the momentum as they sort of swing back Oh God.
I know how much you love Ippo and all the fights. But I think we just talked about Impact for 20 fucking minutes. We're half an hour into a fight episode of our funny anime podcast, and we haven't talked about like themes or like battle of wills in anime fights.
This is true. So which one do you want to do first? Do you want to do big themes and how you can storytell through a fight, or do you want to do the idea of a fight which is not a fight, which is to say the entire plot of the latter half of Vinland Saga that I know is going to bore some people to death, but I love.
Look, the slavery shit is depressing and very important. Spoilers, I apologize. I wanted to talk about Battle of Wills because I saw a really good one really, really recently. I've been watching Worst GTO, which is to say I've been watching Assassination Classroom. And I like Assassination Classroom, not as much as anime Twitter does. Those people are fucking feral in a good way. But I like Assassination Classroom. It doesn't have as many fights as I was expecting. It's much more of this weird alien mystery GTO style, like teach the classmates to self-actualize kind of deal going on. But near the end, and I'm not going to do any of the like spoilers of the end because I still got five episodes left, or like three episodes left, but there's a fight between a character named Karma and a character named Nagisa. And what's happening is there's two teams of people in this classroom, and they're trying to decide if they're going to kill or try and save their teacher. That's it. They're on different teams, right? And it's like a big 14 versus 15, like jungle stealth, capture the flag fucking thing. And everyone gets knocked out except for like the two team captains over the course of like 20 minutes. And then the two team captains roll up, and the guy in blue, Nagisa, is like, I'm going to fucking save the teacher that saved my life. And then the guy in red is like, I'm going to honor the teacher by killing him, because that was the whole point. And they walk up to each other, and the last like 5 minutes is just them beating the shit out of each other, basically.
Amazing fight. Choreographed well.
Oh, 100%. Well choreographed. Quality animation. A good bit of outsmarting. A nice emotional ending. It's great. But like, watching how like each person's fighting style matches up with what they're trying to like do, right? Like how Karma is trying to kill their teacher, and his whole fighting style is like being a very aggressive melee combatant, who's just like a fucking monster with a singular knife in his fists, right? So he's a lot more brutal. And then this more caring, more reserved, better at stealth, wants to save their teacher type, is all about like two knives and parrying and being a bit more tricky and like not being as lethal. And like watching like their ideals clash as like their fighting styles clash and having it all meshed together with like the color theming of blue and red was just really excellent. And it was one of the peaks of the whole show for me. And even though I think the show is like probably a light 7, that fight was like a fucking 9. It was a great time all the way through.
I'm trying to think of like what fight thematically has just drawn me in super hard in the last few years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally fair. Because this one, I'm glad I watched this like really recently, because I think it's an excellent one.
I'm gonna fall back on what can be considered like a super, like, of course you would pick this because one of the big three. Without spoiling anything as much as I can, although I don't know how you can even spoil this at this point. I guess there are still people catching up to One Piece who have kept themselves free. The invasion by Whitebeard and the escape, technically, from Impel Down, it's basically a giant pirate battle versus the navy of One Piece. And thematically, it's Luffy trying to save his brother, who's basically slated to be executed. And there's also a third party kind of acting in the fact that there's also the Whitebeard-Blackbeard conflict finally coming to a head. Thematically, it's amazing because you have all these people with different ideals of what it means to be a pirate and to be king of the pirates coming together, and their ideals directly clashing. And also, you get to see exactly how the ideas of the Navy's justice differ. Because one of the things that Oda has been really trying to hammer home since the introduction of the admirals of the Navy is that the admirals each represent a different kind of justice. And the Navy of One Piece is not like one united front. It's a bunch of people who believe in different kinds of justice. And you see that illustrated throughout the entirety of that Impel Down arc with how the admirals react to what's going on, how they pursue different characters, how honorable some of them are versus cutthroat the others. And you also see the difference in what it means to be a pirate, right? So you get Luffy's happy-go-lucky side, but you also get his selfish side because he wants to do anything to save his brother. You get Whitebeard, who you get the sense of honor and duty and this noble thief almost, as well as this father figure who's always wanted a family. And it's just a lot coming to a head, like a really great climax fight.
Speaking of pirates with cool morals, like, first of all, I have not seen that fight or read it because I have not started One Piece, but I'm getting there. Shout out to the person who's going to listen to this podcast who keeps telling me to fucking read it. But you've shown me, like, clips of this stuff, and it's really fucking great. And I love seeing, like, massive battles where both sides kind of see bits of themselves in the other, and there's like contradictions here and then consistencies there. I love that stuff. One of the things that I really like about, I'm gonna say like a video game that's not Japanese here on our anime podcast, so I apologize, is like the latter half of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Where like when Blackbeard dies, fuck it, spoiler, this historical figure that dies in the game, when he dies, he's like fighting like British or Spanish soldiers or something, and he's like drawing guns on people, he's getting stabbed and cut left and right, and he like looks at you and shouts, in a world without gold we could have been heroes, like while he's killing like oppressive British and Spanish like Navy men and shit. And I live for shit like that. It's fantastic. Yeah. Cause like in the same way, like in this One Piece fight, you look at it, you go, what's like really the big difference between like these massive groups of like Navy and pirates? It's just sort of like cultural views and like how society is denoted power and like a bit of what these people stand for, even though they may defend what they stand for in similar ways, they defend for different stuff, and it's all fucking super interesting.
I think another one, although it's not technically an anime, but it is an anime game. I don't care what people say. Devil May Cry literally has a manga and anime.
That's an anime. You're good.
The constant fighting between Dante versus Virgil. On one level, it is they are fighting because they need to see which one is stronger, and they enjoy fighting each other. Like, these are two characters who enjoy fighting. It is the ultimate sibling rivalry. But there's also this ideal of Dante who wants to embrace his more human side and be compassionate and happy-go-lucky and sort of take up, even though he doesn't admit to it, take up his father's mantle as protector of people because he feels like people are special and set apart from demons. And Virgil, who's only considering strength, but they both want to protect people. They just disagree about how to do it. For Virgil, he doesn't believe that he can protect the things he cares about without being the strongest. And Dante thinks that compassion is the more important component.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. That's just another good example. I like shit like that, where it's just like they have different views and they're just going for it. A little twist on that, like, I know it's really fucking common. I don't care. I think they're really cool. I like hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard fights, you know?
Yeah.
Like fucking Rock Lee Gaara, you know? Where Gaara is this fucking monster who no one in the entire series has landed a hit on yet because of his magic bullshit sand and how good he is at being a ninja. And Rock Lee rolls up and like cannot do ninjutsu or genjutsu. And it's like, I'm gonna beat your ass. We're throwing hands like adults, you know? And it's just like this, the natural talent versus the who is willing to like work their ass off for it. which you also see in Assassination Classroom with Nagisa and Karma. They do interesting things with it. But, like, just the straight, flat-out, what different, like, manga authors and anime directors and writers have to say about, like, this is the person who had all the natural talent, this is the person who works their ass off. A new, pretty obvious modern one is, like, Deku and Bakugo, you know? But Rock Lee Gaara is, like, the quintessential in, like, big shonen hard work versus talent fight of just, like, this obscenely talented person coming up against this obscenely dedicated to their craft person.
Also, another great thematic fight that's kind of hard work versus talent, but also, like, freeing you from your bonds in the way that Gaara Naruto was.
Yeah.
Oh god, I forgot his name. The My Hero fans are going to kill me. Shoto versus Deku, and that's in that tournament yeah. arc, the UA Sports Festival. Really good Nakamura animation in it, which is great.
Yeah. I will say one thing about Nakamura and My Hero. It's gorgeous. It's not gorgeous in the same way the manga is gorgeous, and it's really weird. You My Hero manga heads will know that the manga is gritty as fuck, and that the anime is really pretty, but not in the same gritty way, which disappoints me, but it's also gorgeous, so I can't, like, get mad.
So I think that was a really good thematic fight.
Another battle of ideals, kind of, that I really love is, like, every time Amuro Ray and Char Aznable fight in the original Mobile Suit Gundam
every time
trilogy.
They talk.
That's true. Every time these two people interact in any way, it's like two different views of new types, because, like, it's a whole thing. Just sort of doing space battle of ideals, and it's really great, and I fucking love it. Mostly because both those characters are absolutely incredible. But that one's kind of like a just go watch the movie trilogy. It's less than 10 hours long total. It's all on YouTube for free. You get to see Char, the hottest anime character.
Absolutely. Also, you just get to see an absolute classic that created its own genre. So, you know, there's that. Another good one in that same mecha vein is the entirety of Code Geass's Suzaku versus Lelouch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it
Suzaku wanting to work within a system, Lelouch wanting to tear the system down, which is always a good time for a fight of ideals.
Oh yeah, no, that's another fucking excellent, like, no, we can change the system, follow the rules, and make it better for everybody. And then the other person who's like disillusioned
with the
idea. That's the
stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Disillusioned with the idea of working within the system for progressive change and being like, nah. Fuck them at the top. I'm gonna kill one of them in the first five episodes. He a bitch. You know? Yeah, no. Same person who's telling me to watch One Piece is gonna be like, fuck yeah, love Lelouch.
I think there's something to be said, though. We've named off a bunch of, like, good fights of ideals and themes, but, like...
Yeah, sure.
One of the reasons, like, I think these work so well is because, unlike a book, right? So when you're reading a book, you want conflict, but you have a lot of different ways to actualize conflict. Since anime is a visual medium, a fight is an amazing way to punctuate tension that was already there, and it becomes a narrative device more than anything. So while, yes, they are beautifully animated and choreographed, it's a narrative moment that not every anime fight has.
Yeah, no, and I think this is an important point to do a little distinction, right, I guess, between something we talked about when prepping the show, like a fight versus, like, just action, right?
Yeah.
And you can be fighting in an action scene, right? But, like, one of the examples that I always, like, go back to from, like, a fucking YouTube video essay from, years ago now is... Like, the fights of ideals we've been talking about a lot are really good fights, right? They're one-on-one, two-on-two, or, like, large groups that can be considered, like, one entity fighting a large group that can be considered another entity, right? Traditionally, They have like ideals, and there's like this interplay. Like it's like a conversation is being had in the fight, kind of, right? And then in an action scene, that's not entirely necessary, right? Like the example they give is like the hallway scene in The Raid, or like the nightclub scene in John Wick, which are two live action films. And while these characters that are doing the fighting are driven by something and have a motivation, there's a difference between like two characters who have like an ideological conflict fighting over it, and like one guy just fighting a bunch of people. Like the one that comes to mind for anime is probably Madara fighting the fucking ninja army, where he just starts like trashing on people.
Yeah.
I'd call that like more of an action scene, less of a fight scene. And then when it comes down to like Mike Guy going eight gates and fighting Madara later, that's a fight scene, not an action scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is a big important distinction to like make. And both are good and both serve their own purposes within like storytelling, right? Like oftentimes action is more about like showing someone's power, or really being flashy and entertaining, or showing like someone's struggle. Like in The Raid, where the one guy in the hallway is fighting all these people, he's getting brutalized, but he's also succeeding, right?
Absolutely. A good way, if you have ever, if you want to frame it in like video game terms, you would never call a Musou game like, what is it called? Dynasty Warriors, a fighting game. Right? Because it's not about the sort of like one-on-one who's got the better skills or motivation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a series that has a lot of good examples of this is Berserk. Because I think like scenes when they're defending the town from the trolls and stuff, that's like an action scene. There's lots of big stuff happening, but there's not really a battle of ideals, right? It's your main cast, like Guts and Sherrick and all them, using magic and using this big sword to protect this town from these fucking monsters, right? But then you get something like Guts fighting Grunbeld one-on-one for a bit when he's defending like the forest like witch's home. Or when Guts and Griffith have multiple sword fights throughout, and those are like incredible fights. Because that series across the board has great fights and great action scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. Weird question. Berserk specific. Would you classify, and this is for the Berserk fans out there if you're listening. Would you classify the eclipse scene as a fight, or would you classify it as an action scene?
Neither. I don't think that is either of those things. Because when I think about it, right, like I think the best fight in Berserk are the Guts and Griffith fighting on the hill when Guts is going to leave for the first time. Guts and Zod and Griffith and all that shit on the Hill of Swords the second time they're there. When they kill the Kushan guy and like turn him into a fucking tree, I think it's a good fight. All that shit. And then good action scenes I've been over, and I think the best action scene is like that, or maybe when they're fighting the sea monster on the island. I think those are great action scenes. The eclipse is neither of those, and you're fucking crazy if you think it is. The eclipse is just like, just trauma. I hesitate to call it much of an action scene because I don't think like it has the same energy as like putting people in front of a firing squad. Like it's just a slaughter. And a slaughter of like that caliber, I hesitate to call an action scene. There's not really any like relevant fighting back. It's just a murder, you know? Like I wouldn't call it an action scene when like really when like someone kills someone in like an 80s or 90s slasher film, you know, necessarily.
But some people would call that an action scene. That's true. I agree with you. I don't think it's an action scene. I think of things like the eclipse as set pieces, like things that happen that traditionally have action, but are just there to move the narrative along. So like a good example for people that watch shonen anime My hero, when Bakugo escapes the League of Villains right before the All Might versus All For One fight, right? It has action in it. People are trying to stop them from helping Bakugo, but the point is to move the narrative along to create the situation in which the All Might versus All For One fight could happen.
You mean the scene that Nakamura animated where he like fucking yeets himself and Kirishima catches him and there's like a whole like power friendship moment as they're like flying by?
Yeah.
That one?
Like,
yeah, that
he couldn't have taken anyone's hand if it wasn't Kirishima.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there is action happening there, right? I think Call of Duty, oddly enough, in a lot of its stories is really good at these
distinctions. Call of Duty has a lot of them.
Yeah, Call of Duty, weirdly enough, fight scenes, action scenes, and set pieces as like a differentiation is incredible in like the modern warfare games.
So I haven't played a lot of like modern Call of Duty, but I have been watching people's story playthroughs of Cold War.
Yeah.
Every slowdown scene, right, where like completely is not the mechanics of the shooter. You're just like shoot mowing guys down because thematically it looks cool. It's like a slow-mo action scene in like a shitty Tom Cruise movie. Set pieces.
I agree. I think, oddly enough, good Tom Cruise movies also do this because I think Mission Impossible is great at this too. But like, I know we're getting kind of off topic with this whole fucking going to non-anime and manga media, but I feel like it's relevant. Mission Impossible has action scenes like when Tom Cruise, all for Mission Impossible Fallout, in like one cohesive thing, it does all three. You ready? It's the part where he's like raiding that casino nightclub place and he first fights Henry Cavill. He skydives out the plane, which is a set piece, kinda. He lands in a bathroom somewhere and fights a bunch of useless grunts, and it's an action scene. And then the last few minutes of that are when Henry Cavill shows up and it becomes a fight. One after the other.
I definitely agree. I'm trying to think if any anime that I can think of has done something similar that I can think of right off the top of my head. And it might be Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Ooh, fuck yeah.
With after what's his name? The dude with the giant automail chainsaw hand dies, and Greed Ling fucking rips his way through the entire army into a fight scene.
Yeah, in the castle siege bit at the very end of that fucking show. Yeah, no, I agree. I think, once again, I also think Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, which is good at literally everything. Like, I don't think there's an episode of this podcast that is vaguely related to like character or philosophy or action or fights in any way where it wouldn't be relevant to talk about Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, if I'm being honest. But I think Brotherhood's great at this too. We have incredible fight scenes, especially of ideals. Personal favorites being anytime Solf J. Kimberly fights someone, literally anytime. Great action scenes, like in like season 3 and 4, when they're making their way from the wall back to the center of like the country, and they're just kind of fighting grunts, and they meet those two like homunculi guys that eventually become their friends. That's a fight scene. And then there's a variety of like weird escapes and character moments throughout that are set pieces. Like
I think that set pieces are actually like really important to a show or a movie, because set pieces are one of the things that I think establish scale for a lot of power scalers out there, like how this person stacks up against the average person.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. What's a good example of that for you?
Of like establishing scale?
Yeah, through a set piece.
I think the Berserk Eclipse is actually a great way for it, because you get to watch the Band of the Hawk and how good they are at war. And the fact that Guts as a normal person can even go toe to toe against like Zod in his human form, essentially.
Yeah.
And you see exactly just how powerful disciples can be when the eclipse happens and they get absolutely massacred, right? It's not just because they were unprepared. That is the distance between a human who knows how to kill as a profession and the average disciple. Because theoretically, the disciples in the eclipse aren't even particularly powerful ones compared to, like, the Kushan Emperor.
Oh, yeah, no, those are some weak fucking apostles. Like, the ones that are, like, killing a lot of Guts's friends, you know, are really weak compared to some of the shit that goes down in this series. He fights, like, a sea god. He fights Grunbeld. There's the really cool guy who, like, is a wolf archer thing and also a deer, kind of, who's like crazy strong. And these are just like penis demons, like regular ass, like lower mid penis demons.
Yeah. And also as a great set piece that establishes scale, because I don't even count this as a fight a lot of the times. The first Grunbeld encounter, you see him essentially knock over an army and then knock over Guts. And it establishes just how weak the people Guts have been fighting are compared to how strong disciples can actually get.
Yeah. You mean like before he gets the armor? Like, yeah. like the first half of that fight before he gets the armor is just... No, I think that's fair. I've been thinking about series that also, that are long-running anime and shit that also do all of these well. And a big shocker... It's Hunter x Hunter and Yu Yu Hakusho and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Who would have guessed? Some of the best shonen are really good at this. I think for fights, especially like fights of ideals and stuff, all three of these are fucking chock full, like cover to cover, personally. And then when it comes to action scenes, they're all over the place. Like, I don't know, like, it's almost difficult to pick one, like the level of good shit that's happening. Like, I hesitate to say Kurapika Uve again, because I almost think that's just a set piece for setting up Kurapika, and it's not actually much of a fight.
I also don't think it's much of a fight, because, like, we've talked about this before, and my problem with Hunter x Hunter, like, that fight really does, like, break the typical Hunter x Hunter fight mold. For the purpose of establishing Kurapika's character.
Yeah, I think there are some cool set pieces prior to that. I think York News chock full of good set pieces, action scenes, and fights. Like the bit where they turn the lights out and do like the fucking escape in the hotel lobby is a great set piece. And then the bit where they do like... When Krolo uses the inside fish and then sits there and conducts like his fucking requiem of the Phantom Troop demolishing the mafia throughout the town, or like Uvigan killing the mafia people, that's an action scene. And then like some of the stuff that happens in like the battle tower prior to that, and like some of the individual encounters between people, like when they fight Nobunaga, or like when Gon and Kilo get captured and stuff like that, feels more like a fight scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will gush about Hunter x Hunter forever. I also think JoJo's is good, but like I could sit here and name like insert any fight here from like half of the fucking 8 JoJo's arcs and it'd be like, yep, that's a great one.
That's super fair, because JoJo's is full of great fights. We've got about 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how long we go, left.
Yeah, sure.
So I guess I really want to get to fights that aren't fights. And I don't mean like set pieces, I mean like battles of the mind or like game manga and things like that.
Oh, yeah. The easy one that everyone's going to know because it's like the really normie take is like Death Note. Like when they're playing fucking tennis... And the whole time they're playing tennis, it's actually just like a fucking crazy making reads on each other's personalities mind game thing in Death Note, yeah. Like Light Note. Shit like that's incredible. I love that. I'm reading Bakuman right now. That's in Bakuman.
Yeah, Bakuman has a lot of it. Yeah. These sort of like whoever wins the most votes in Shonen this week. And you see their strategies for how they're going to become popular in Shonen, which are somewhat based on what was happening in the Shonen yeah. offices at the time.
There's one of the best video essays on all of YouTube is about this topic. So like, I'm going to, after we talk about it and do like an okay job, you guys should go watch Super Eyepatch Wolf's video, non-battle battle Shonen, which is a whole video essay about battle Shonen that aren't actually having fights or battles in them. Because that's kind of, at least at like a surface level, what like the most popular examples of stuff like this comes out to be.
Definitely agree. I think the one that, like, I love the most, and I've talked about this show before, so this really shouldn't come as a surprise if you've been following the show, is Hikaru no Go.
Yeah.
Hikaru no Go, in the same vein as now amazingly popular Netflix series Queen's Gambit, right? It's about a chess-like game called Go, and Hikaru's like slice of life journey accompanied by a ghost friend named Fujiwara no Sai, or just Sai for short. And the amount of emotion that is played out on the board, even if you don't know the rules of Go, like seeing the anxiety and hearing the strategy play out on the characters' faces, it builds tension. And the writer is great at communicating what's happening on the Go board without you needing to understand Go. So basically they'll like show a shot of the board and be like, white is dead on this side. And then they'll zoom in on that part of the board. And you are able to assess that they are losing without actually knowing why they are losing, which is a big strength for a board game manga where the board game is not universally understood. It also creates a lot of emotional moments, like the first Akira, who is his rival, and Hikaru game, in which the ghost sort of stomps the rival for the first time, and the rival falls into like abject depression followed by obsession.
Are you ready for me to sound like the most broken fucking record of all time for this season 2 premiere? Are you excited?
Sure, yeah.
The end of Kaiji season 1. Both of the games at the end of the first season of Kaiji are exactly that. In fact, most of Kaiji is just fights and action scenes that aren't actually fights and action scenes. Whether it be really complex rock, paper, scissor trading cards, or like the King and Slave game, which is the one that came to mind against Mr. Tonegawa, who's like one of the people who runs this business he has so much fucking money to. Right? Is a scene in which they're just playing a game where you reveal cards and one player has four like peasants and a king, and one player has four peasants and a slave. And there's like all these rules about like playing one card at a time and trying to like mind game your opponent to like get the points and shit like that. And Tonegawa is betting with like millions of dollars. And Kaiji is betting with, like, a device attached to his ear that is slowly pushing a screw towards the eardrum, and he's betting with the centimeters of that nail being screwed in, or that screw being screwed in. And it's some of, like, the most intense fucking battle of wits shit I have ever seen. Or the bit after that in which he plays the circle on a piece of paper game inside a tissue box thing. To be like the season finale. Both of those are some of like my personal favorite fights and like fights of the brain that aren't actually fights. Before we go on to continue talking about fights that aren't fights, though, it's time for the first anime news corner of Saturday Morning Anime Podcast season 2. And as is, I think this is kind of beautiful, actually, to come back to this. Guys, it's the first week of December. We ain't got shit for you on anime news. I'm going to be completely honest. I was scrolling around doing some research, and they said there's going to be a King of Fighter 15. Okay. We got Attack on Titan season 2 airs, or season 4, the final season, airs in like 3 days. And we don't have an opening theme. We have the title. It's called like It's War or something. I think it's the first opening not done by Linked Horizon. Maybe the second not done by them. And that's airing in like 3 days. And we've basically only seen promotional art. Like nothing's really happening. That weird animated like samurai Rick and Morty short is getting a fucking sequel. If people are excited for that, like it's the first week of December. What do you want?
Perhaps the most exciting thing, which isn't going to happen until I believe January, correct, is the fact that Gintama is ending.
Oh yeah, no, we got the final Gintama movie, and a bunch of cool shit. Like for next anime season, we can talk about. Like, first of all, I'm currently making my way through Gintama. It's a fucking masterpiece. So I'm excited about it. But we're also getting, like, Log Horizon's actually getting a season 3. We manifested it all season 1, making shitty jokes about not knowing if there was going to be one. We did that. We manifested Log Horizon season 3.
We as a community, you know, pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, the very strong Saturday morning anime podcast community manifested season 3 of Log Horizon. What, like Dr. Stone season 2 is, and like Cells at Work season 2 are probably what I'm most excited about. Those are going to be a fun time. But that's because I'm a fucking science nerd.
That's fair. I think Dr. Stone's pretty solid.
I prefer the manga, mostly because Boichi is Boichi. But, like, it's a fun anime adaptation. I don't have any other anime news, so I'm going to do all the cheesy shit now. Unless you have, like, big secret anime news that you wanted to share.
Big secret anime news that I wanted to share. What would be some big secret anime news? You don't
have to have one.
No, I'm thinking, though, if I can get some out. Nope, nothing. Nothing. Nothing that I can think of.
Look, you tried your best. I could feel the mental strain from hours away, as now we're recording from our homes again.
I will say, though, if you want to see a real fight in an anime, and you are 18 or older, because this barely qualifies as an anime, Ishukoku Reviewers. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, look, the highest rated anime on my anime list for one day.
Look, the true battle of wills.
The true battle of wills between the love of Ishizoku reviewers and Monster Musume fans, which I expect to end a nuclear apocalypse.
Did those fandoms fight? I felt like they would be best. Are those not just the same fans?
No. No, there's some actual, like, Twitter hatred between those series. Not, like, a ton. Like, about as much as, like just Black Clover fans just being upset. So, like, there's some of them, you know. But on that note, thank you guys for joining us again for a second fucking season. Spotify Wrapped is coming out right now for everybody. And we have one of those now because we have a Spotify. And we put up 20 hours in our first, like, 14-episode season of just us talking about anime. And, you know, we're a small community. I interact with you guys a little bit. But I can't thank you enough, because this has just been a really cool experience that I've really enjoyed doing. Glad to be here for season 2. I want to personally thank, once again, Khalid Johnson. You can go find him on the Twitter for the fantastic new art for season 2. He got our profile picture, the new icon on the streaming services, and the Twitter banner with our anime faces on it. I'm very proud of it. He's fucking incredible. Go give him a like, a follow, tell him we sent you, all that shit. But yeah, if you're loving the show, even half as much as we love making it, we'd really appreciate it if you would, like, share it with a friend, family member, pen pal, small rodent, perhaps? I don't know. I'm pretty sure, like, ferrets would really enjoy our podcast for some reason. I feel it in my soul. Because we don't have money to do any advertising or anything, and we don't really intend on it. I don't really need the show to be fucking massive. I just love our tight little lovely community of people. I can't thank you enough for spending your Saturday mornings here with us. Our Twitter is at SatAnimePod. And yeah, feel free to give us a follow, give us a shout out, say hi to people for us, and have a great weekend. Now back to your regularly scheduled fights that aren't fights.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, what are some other good ones? Like, some amazing fights that aren't fights.
I can talk about fights that are fights. We haven't even talked about anything that Imaishi did.
Oh god, Imaishi's got so much good shit. Go ahead with that. I'm gonna keep thinking about fights that aren't fights.
Hey guys, Studio Trigger and Studio Gainax have good fights that are fights of ideals, involving big swords and giant robots and drills and stuff like that. I feel like I don't need to say a bunch more, but, like, every single moment that Kamina is on screen for all of Gurren Lagann, in the parts that he's in, is ideals. Simone's entire character is, and like the theme of the show is about like reaching new heights, reaching new sizes, fighting new fights, and conquering the unconquerable difficulties of combat against like shit that literally you can't even conceptualize how big it is, like the anti-spiral and stuff, you know? Kill La Kill's entire deal is about like societal perceptions of clothing and self-understanding and like of the modesty and like openness and all this crazy shit, and like all of it is shown through pretty like great, like really well edited and well directed and well animated and well colored anime fights of hot people. Neon Genesis Evangelion is about sad fighting against angels. That's pretty lit. This is the least analysis you're getting this entire episode, because first of all, we leave that to the professionals. And second of all, Trigger, Gainax, Anno, Imaishi, they've always been doing good fights of ideals. Fights of ideals are even in like fucking Kare Kano. Like, just go watch it. These people are geniuses.
I thought of the one thing that I wanted to bring up before we basically jumped off this.
Sure, go for it.
Which is to say, the fight that is not a fight that is present in every harem romance shoujo love triangle show ever, which is the fight of love, man. I fucking love that shit. I love it when someone's fighting over someone's love or fighting over who's going to confess first, like Kaguya-sama Love and Love is War. Oh, that shit is amazing. I'm gonna so out good. Myself as a weird human being. The fight to understand what makes a relationship successful in Mysterious Girlfriend X, amazing. Because even though the entire relationship is founded on that gross drool shit, they're like trying to solve, like navigation of relationship issues is very compelling. And I think that that is a fight in itself.
Yeah, no, totally fair. I think there's lots of like, in modern romance stuff, even in like older romance stuff, there's lots of like the fight of learning how things works. The fight of you and your partner or hypothetical partner's ideals and how they clash and how compromises are made and love is found and all of that delightful shit that's all over all of the best romance series ever and things like that. Yeah, that's delightful. I love that. Even though I haven't watched a lot of it, there's pretty good, like, that, and, like, also fights of ideals, and, like, also action scenes in, like, the first handful of episodes of Revolutionary Girl Utena, which I haven't finished, but is delightful.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's, I think bringing romance, stories up is an important part of that. I think that's pretty fair. Like, I like watching, I like watching tsundere shit as much as the next guy, you know?
Doesn't fuck. Everyone?
What?
I mean, isn't,
like,
aren't those truly the like default waifus?
Makise Kurisu from Steins Gate. That relationship is damn near a fight the whole way through as it builds between her and like Okabe, you know? And I think that's totally fair. Or like all of Toradora, you know? Yeah. I think stuff like that is really endearing. Like the fight of two very strong-willed people, like realizing their feelings for each other and stuff like that, like in Kaguya-sama and things like that. I think that's delightful. Love that shit. It's very wholesome. Very like early mid high school like drama shit. It's so cute. I love it so much. It's just really endearing to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Just that entire genre, and of course we've brought this example up a lot because it's popular and it's talked about a lot with Oran. Perhaps some of the most compelling, like behind your back fight shit is when they all start to realize that they have crushes on Haruhi.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like they just all sabotage each other in the sneakiest ways to the point that half of them don't even realize that it's happening.
Yeah. No. That's just like, I hate to be like, hey everybody, Oran High School Host Club is good at doing stuff like that because it is,
But it is, yeah, though.
It's like a really, really obvious. It's like the same thing as like, did you guys know that Watanabe is good at making fight scenes? Yes. I've seen Bebop. I know about Spike and Vicious, but like Ouran is that good. So like, I don't think it's like cheap to pick the obvious example there.
I don't think it is either, because I always feel bad for picking the obvious example. Speaking of fights, let's talk about an internal fight. But I want it to be as accessible as possible, because this is the casual anime podcast. And I think Ouran is one of those things you can show to almost anyone, and if they have a heart, they'll probably like it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. That's why I think it's like a good example for stuff like that, because it's just so like, it's just so fucking approachable. Like anybody... I've watched Ouran with people who don't even like animated television. Don't even like Pixar stuff for being fucking animated. And they're like, man, that was some adorable stuff. You know, that is a weird one though, with running like the casual podcast. Cause like I tried to avoid talking about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure with fights today, because we could have just sat there and been like, everybody watched part two. Great. Let's talk about how fucking good every fight in part two is, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting trying to find like that balance between being, we're the people who sure will sit here and tell you Rock Lee Gaara is good, but then also try and bring in some of the more like middle level obscurity stuff, right? Like, I think it's a pretty fair take to say that Naruto is more popular than like Kaiji, you know?
I don't agree.
What the fuck? Where are all these Kaiji cosplayers at? Where are they at, though? Where can I buy
them? No, it's just hard to cosplay Kaiji characters. That's the real problem here.
Put on a brown, like, duster, smoke a cigarette, and sell your soul to some guy. There you go. You did it. Bada-bam. It's not that hard. Get, like, a chin that's, like, literally a triangle. It's so easy. But, yeah, no. That's, Yeah, I think that this is a discussion that's like worthy of ending the show on, you know, like I feel like we do an okay job of talking about stuff like Gundam Thunderbolt December Sky, which is a really great OVA that everyone should go watch. That's not the most popular thing in the world. Or like soon we're going to talk about Welcome to the NHK, which is a less popular thing that should be incredibly more popular. But then also, you know, like, here's a good fight from My Hero Academia. This is the coldest take ever.
I disagree. I don't think you've seen the anime community talk about My Hero Academia. Like, I don't even think it's like amazing, right? I think it's a solid shonen, but yeah, like people will fucking trash My Hero.
That's true, but we're talking about the coldest takes within My Hero, you know? Like, yeah, our takes haven't been like, insert this scene that makes no is like the best thing. Our takes have been like, you guys like the fucking tournament arc? Yeah, so do we.
Do you want to end this on My Hero hot takes just for shits and giggles?
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, I'll do it. You know mine. You know my number one.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking hate Todoroki. And I can't tell you why. And I didn't steal this from fucking like Briggs on Rant Cafe, because I know he hate like anime all day. Briggs fucking despises Todoroki, right? I can't tell you why I hate him. I can't. I even acknowledge he's one of the best written characters in that series. I want to punch him in the goddamn face, and I don't know why.
He's just got one of those faces.
He does. Look, he can get these hands and then burn me alive or freeze me to death upon getting one good hit in, probably.
All right. So here's what I'm going to say. This is the hottest My Hero take I have, and it's not even a My Hero take.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
Deku's a better MC than Luffy. Look, okay. I love One Piece. One Piece is all around better than My Hero Academia. Luffy is the weakest part of One Piece.
From what I've seen, I don't think it's a horror. I can't comment on that take specifically. I would say of the bits I've seen, it's not my favorite Straw Hat of like the bits that I've enjoyed of like the Sakuga I've seen, which isn't a lot. And of like the story bits I've seen and read, I really like Zoro and Jinbei. They seem really great. But yeah, I don't know. There's like hour long video essays by the most famous people on AnimeTube shitting all over Deku.
I know.
The Deku defense hill is an interesting one to die on.
I will die on the Deku being a well-written main character, and the reason that he's so annoying to people is because he has actual character development.
I don't even think that's that terrible of a take. I'm kind of with you. I don't hate him as much as most people do. I also don't think he's the most interesting part of that show.
No, I agree. He's not. Deku is also not the draw of My Hero. Just like Luffy, I don't think should be the draw of One Piece.
What are some other takes from My Hero? You know how after the, like when season 3 happens and they're at the fucking camp and like the muscular fight happens and all that shit?
Yeah.
I thought all of that was boring as fuck. I literally like sat
you're
there.
Oh, you're weird.
I slogged through the fucking camp episodes. I thought muscular wasn't even that good of a fight. Like I did not like it at all.
That is not base. That is not pocket.
No, like it was cool. It had some funny lines. I like watching the characters develop, but like a lot of that just didn't do it for me. Like
that is definitely not poggers, what you've just said.
I know this is like a hot fuck. I thought the muscular fight was boring as shit. Like I'll be completely honest. I don't know. And I'm someone who I dropped My Hero like basically apparently an episode before Mirio shows up.
Very like, impressive timing, mind you.
Oh yeah, no. I was watching it with a significant other at the time when it was like airing. And then I went off to college and we're like, we'll finish this show together in person. And then eventually we broke up and I never fucking picked it up again. So I just didn't touch it. So it's just kind of been sitting there. I've never met Mirio. I've seen all these awesome manga panels and the shit's gorgeous. And like, it's a well-written thing, but watching the muscular fight and the stuff around it, other than the villain showing up, which was the cool part, I thought that was like all pretty fucking boring. And I just didn't like it at all. Other than like the three bits at the end where the villains show up and do kidnappings. But like,
all right.
Wait,
now that we have,
I have one last hot take and then I will.
What?
My favorite scene in all of My Hero Academia. And I think that this is like the most enjoyable scene for me to watch in the whole series is the first time Bakugo gets captured and they like show up at the bar and save him. The bit where they like ask him, hey, do you want to do a Sasuke? And then he's like, I don't know. And then Shigaraki's like, untie him. And then as soon as getting untied, he tries to fucking like blow them all up. That's my favorite scene in all of My Hero.
I don't even think that's like the hottest take. I think that's a great scene, personally. And it sets Bakugo apart from literally every other character. Like that fills that rival role. Is that most of them that have been made in recent years, at least, right?
Yeah.
Follow that Sasuke template of I will do whatever for power.
I'm a hero.
In before Killua joins the Phantom Troop.
Oh yeah, no, that's your fucking call that I like. Oh, and we tie it back around that Bakugo bit right there where he does all that shit. That's a set piece, baby.
Absolutely.
Brought it back around.
But now that we've ended our fight episode on creating fights in anime Twitter, should they ever somehow find this podcast?
God willing they do, and then God willing they don't. Either way, we'll see what happens. I'm not going to manifest on it, so it's anybody's game.
That's fair. So thank everyone for listening, for keeping with it. We are back, and we're happy to be.
Yeah, I'm super fucking stoked. We don't plan these episodes like very far in advance at all. This airs in like a very short amount of days. Oh god, I'm so sorry to my editor, Xavier. But I'm glad to be back. I can't tell you what next week's episode is going to be, but I can promise that we're going to be here and be casual, talk about Japanese media, and continue to retweet Sakuga and our boy Yinka's incredibly good takes and incredibly bad takes all over anime Twitter. I can't thank anybody who listens to this enough for spending this about an hour and a half with us on your Saturday morning. Enjoy whatever. I hope you enjoyed whatever tea or coffee or commute you had listening to the show. I hope you can pick up the Sunday paper tomorrow and read some great funny comics in the funnies. And have a great weekend. Can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you.